Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 2nd, 2014, and so good to have my co-host back in the area, freshly returned from Florida. We were praying you up. You had a much-needed vacation with family, so we were so glad you got to get away and the generosity from friends. As you were just finished praying, it reminded me of something that Herb shared at our Singing Men rehearsal. We had a number of inmates praying for our community appreciation concert. And I forgot to mention that on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends on yesterday's program, Herb was, I can't remember what prison he was serving at. He serves in Pontiac and this prison and that prison, like the southern point of Illinois. He was in some prison for like the weekend. And at some point he was telling all the guys, I guess it was on Saturday evening, he said, you know, right now the Singing Men of GNN, I would be with them, but I'm serving with you. He said there was this concert going on and he explained it. And then one of the inmates says, well, why don't we stop right now and pray for the concert? And on Monday night, I think we spent 45 minutes recounting all the things that God did at that event and how he encouraged people. And so I was just thinking, again, the power of prayer. And I know some of our prayers were that you would get to relax and unwind. And I'm going to title the program Reflections or Vacation Reflections. But one of the things that I knew it was a good vacation, as you were just sharing a few minutes ago, was when you achieved getting some good barbecue, but you told the story that, Mark, I knew it was a good place when I looked down and there were ants on my leg. And so it was a classic recounting of this place, not in the backwoods, but where was it?
Oh my gosh, where was that? Orangeville, Orangetown, South Carolina, I think, or North Carolina. I'm not really sure because there were some places where it seemed like we danced around these state lines. I don't know how we kept laughing because on the trip down, we got near Chattanooga. And when you get near Chattanooga, you are like in Tennessee, you're in Georgia. It's like nonstop. So we kept going like, back in Georgia, back in Tennessee, back, you know. And so it was just kind of funny because as you're weaving down this one road, I think it's 26 maybe, Route 26, you go in and out of both states a bunch of times. So it's kind of funny. I'm a joke. Yeah, but we ate at this place. It was called Duke's.
And what's that search engine thing that you were
using? Oh, Yelp. We used this thing called Yelp. It was an app on my iPad, but it was you can get it on your phone. You can look it up at Yelp.com, Yelp.com, and it gives you your current location, and then you can look at all the restaurants. You can look just by what is the best restaurant there, or you can look by certain kinds of food. So we would look southern cooking, barbecue. We'd look up coffee to get coffee in the morning because we always on vacation, one of our goals is – if we're in a town that we don't know, what is the unique place? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to go to McDonald's or Burger King or one of those kinds of. We want to go to somewhere unique that we may never see again.
And one of your goals on this trip was to have some unique barbecue.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You had some like the typical kind you'd get at the mall, and you're like, no,
is that a mall? It was at a mall. I mean, I said, this is what we were going through Macon, Georgia, and I said, this is what I want. And she goes, okay, well, number two is this place. Let's go. So we went, and I pull in, and it's the mall. I mean, it literally is. There was a clothing store across the hallway from this bar. Now, the barbecue place wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. It wasn't what I want a place that's just like the health department could close down at any second. It's a shack. I want to smell the wood that's, you know, the stuff's being cooked. So
and you don't want to know what's going on in the kitchen.
Oh, I totally don't want to know what's going on in the kitchen because I know it's sketchy. So, yeah, Orangeville, Orangetown, it was a place called Duke's, and it's only open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yeah. Not on Sunday, because down in the Bible Belt, nothing happens on Sunday. We got up on Sunday, and I remember I was looking for somewhere to go when we were in Tennessee, and the guy in the lobby of the hotel reminded me, he goes, son, this is Sunday. There's places to be. And so I just said, man, and it was really crazy. I mean, I loved it. There was a point where we got down like around Chattanooga, I would say Chattanooga South, and Tennessee, Knoxville North, where, I don't know, I saw so many billboards with the gospel on it. I ran into people in the gas station who wanted, because I was wearing T-shirts from the church that I pastor, people who wanted to talk about Jesus. Mm. I mean, you're pumping gas, and people are like, hey, son of God. I'm like, yeah, Jesus. I mean, it was like crazy. It was just, I'm like, I love the Bible Belt. I mean, people are like, you're praying at the table, and it's not like up here where people come by and they're like, it's so good to see a family sticking to value. Down there, you're like one of everyone else who's praying. In fact, we're at this Duke's.
Now explain. You're walking in. Didn't you send in?
I sent Tasha in. I said, yeah. Everywhere we go, we do on vacation. We do reconnaissance because we have all these kids, so it's not like there's no easy getting all out of the car and getting back in the car. So it's got to be the right place for us to unpack everybody and get them into the place. So we pull up, and it was, I mean, the town was like falling apart. I mean, it was a sketchy town.
Yes.
And so we pull up, and this place is in the middle of like blown up, rusted out Kwanzaa huts. I mean, it's like, it did not, you know, cars with no wheels on the, it just didn't look good. I'm like, I don't know about this. And there was a door in the back of the restaurant as you drove up with like 100, it was a lot. I mean, hundreds, maybe a lot, 25, 30. It was a lot of people. Like at this window standing there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this place like okay? Why are they at that window? What's going on? And you know, and I just, I've seen Deliverance a few times. So, you know, I'm just thinking like I get in there and they're like, city boy, and you never see me again. You know, and so I said, Tasha, you gotta go in and check it out. So she goes in and checks it out, and I'm sitting in the car and I'm looking at Yelp, and the reviews on Yelp are like, this is a place for hush puppies. You've got to taste Grandma, I think her name was Claire or something, her hush puppy. So I'm like, ah. Oh. Tasha comes back in the door, the car swings open, and she goes, this place is awesome. They have folding tables and rusted folding chairs. Yeah. And I'm like, what? And she's like, everything is styrofoam cups and plastic silverware. And I'm like, okay, we're in. So we unpack the kids. We go in. As we're walking in the door, Tasha knocks into some guy's table with the baby carrier, and he like looks like, you know, I thought we were going to get roped up right then and there. But it was like, I don't know, it was like $20 for the whole family, a big pitcher of sweet tea on every single table. Again, this folding table, it was like not even like nice folding tables. These were like they just found them in a garage sale, and they set them up, and they gave them one wipe down, but they didn't really get all the rust and stuff off them. Foam plates. But everything that you ate, and you didn't order. There was no waitresses. In fact, at one point, Molly said to the lady who was refilling the sweet tea, can you get me some more ice water? And the lady goes, sugar, the tap is over there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, and Molly's like, ah, she's not a very good waitress. And
yeah.
I'm like, I don't think she's a waitress, and shut up.
Yeah.
We're like sticking out like a sore thumb here. But so it was like a big like hot bar like you would get at like a cafeteria. But everything was homemade. The mac and cheese was through the roof.
There a lady, like the owner or proprietary person?
She was like 85 years old, and everything was her grandma. I mean, she was sitting there.
That mac and cheese, that's my recipe.
Mac and cheese was her recipe. The fried chicken was her grandmother's recipe for the breading. The green beans were like I mean, it was just everything you ate. You were just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There is a God.
Wow. And I don't know what it was on vacation, but I just wasn't hungry a lot of the vacation. So I was like, I'm sitting there going like, Lord, can you just like stretch my, I just want to eat this forever. And we got done eating. We're driving down the road, and I told Tasha, I'm like, I just want to go back and get a quart of that mac and cheese. We need to eat later, like in the hotel or something. She's like, shut up. Just keep driving.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But it was great. But like, so in the middle of dinner, I'm like eating, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And then I feel like my leg is itching, and I'm like, what's going on? I look down, there's ants crawling up on my leg.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that they only open 3 days a week, and I don't think they've ever thought about it doing any kind of extermination.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy, and everybody was so friendly, and there was an African-American couple on the table next to us off to the side. Tasha said, she goes, oh, they are eyeballing us. They are so eyeballing us. They are so eyeballing us. Until Jacob asked me a question about money, and we were talking about money, and like we do with all of our conversations, I equate it to the Bible. I said, well, you know, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to us. He's like, why do we worry about money so much? Because that's the way we did our vacation. We're always talking, the whole vacation, we're like, okay, well, we're on budget. What are we doing? How much does this cost? I mean, whether you agree or not, a lot of our conversation on our vacation, there was conversations about how much do things cost, because we wanted to honor the budget that we set out. We wanted to arrive back home not only feeling good about our vacation, but feeling good about the fact that we stuck to the budget that we set forward to do that. So Jacob's like, you know what? What's so important about money? And so at one point he's like, can't you just print it in your house? Can you just get some green paper? I'm like, no, you go to prison. That's a great idea. A lot of people have thought about it before you, and they're in jail. So it's not a good – but so I'm making this biblical argument with my son about money, and this African-American guy comes over, and he's like, he goes, it's so good to see you raising your son up in the Lord. You know, and I was just like, man, thank you, Jesus, because, you know, for most of the dinner, we thought they were eyeballing us. So it was great. It was, you know.
One of many great days and experiences and time
with
family.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was just one of the things that we do on vacation, and we love that we do it, and we hate that we do it, is we try to prepare as little as possible. You know, like, we don't know. So, like, we're trying to figure out where we're going to eat when we're there. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do as we, you know, when we left Florida, I was still going, okay, wait, I think this is what we should do now. You know, and we just figure, like, okay, if this is what we think we should do, then the Lord is going to order our steps, and there's going to be some amazing things that we're going to see. So on the way back, we decided to go from Florida up the coast and then into South Carolina and up to or towards this place called Asheville, which was right by the Smoky Mountains, because one of the things we wanted to do is drive through the Smoky Mountains. We're coming back. We might as well drive through these amazing national parks. So coming up the coast, there's a place called Kings Bay. And it turns out that after we did a little Google Earth and all that, Kings Bay is where the United States houses all its Trident nuclear missile submarines. Hmm. And they had a cool submarine museum there. So it's like just these little things that we stop off and we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do now. The Lord must want us to check this out, or, you know, to see these statues or to see these planes or to see these things. It was just kind of neat. So we try to be prepared but then be unprepared, because we probably never would have gone to that restaurant had we prepared where we were going to eat and what we were going to do. And yeah. We try to not play it safe either. That's the way we do it. And So sometimes we kick ourselves because we go, boy, if we were better prepared, we would have done this. But, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you got some good rest and relaxation time and got to be by the pool and some warm weather. And I know, like for any pastor, the demands, the pressures, the weight that you carry on your shoulder ministering to people. And so because of this generous family and just circumstances, you got to just kind of get some downtime, good time with Tasha and the family. And I know I followed many of your Facebook posts. You know, you were at a pool in a great resort area, and you just got to kind of say, thank you, God. And you worked on a verse. I think you had that verse pinned to the dashboard of your car.
Yeah, before we left, we chose a verse as a family, and we put it on a big post-it note, and we stuck it to the dashboard, and it didn't leave the dashboard for 10 days. In fact, I just actually peeled it off the dashboard this morning. But it was our prayer every single day. When we got in the car, we'd pray it. As we were going along, we'd pray it. It was really funny, because we spent, like, the first day, 8 hours in the car. The second day, we spent 10 hours in the car. On the trip back, we spent much more time in the car, because we went up the coast. We took a little bit of a longer route. But we never really felt like it was... like, oh, get me out of the car. Hmm. I mean, we were just enjoying it. And the kids, to travel with four kids, two of them, I mean, 4 months, 2 years old, 5 years old, and 8 years old, they were great. Tasha went out and spent, like, I don't know, like $50 on all these activity books, stickers, all this kind of stuff to keep them happy. And we used very little of it. They sat there and they looked out the window. They mm-hmm. talked amongst each other. They sang. I mean, they were just enjoying themselves. Yeah. And Tasha and I. So, I mean, what could have been the car ride is what we were really fearful of. And what could have been horrible was just great. And we believe it was because we just prayed and we asked the Lord. The verse was Psalm 67:1. It said, may God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor upon us. And so that was just the thing we prayed every day, that God, will you be merciful in this and bless us? And there was a bunch of times where we were tested by it. So we're at Cocoa Beach, and Tasha, she's like, we get out of the car, and I'm like, are you going to take your phone? And she's like, yeah, you got to get some pictures. And I'm like, no way, I'm leaving my phone in the car. So I left my phone in the car, so we're at the beach, you know, and she's taking pictures, and I'm, you know, saving the kids because they're like, you know, the wave would come in and grab them and they get sucked out into the, and I run over and grab them, pull them back, and trying to explain undertow to a 2-year-old, and it's not working out. She's like, I just want to be in the waves. So finally I pulled the shark card. I'm like, well, are you out there? I just saw a shark. Ah! So then they stayed in a little bit. I didn't notice that the lifeguards, they don't like when you say shark, but it's akin to saying bomb on a plane. So she's taking pictures, and she dropped her phone in the ocean.
Oh.
So she like literally she was taking a picture and it slipped out of her hands, and I didn't know that. So we get back and we're at the stroller, and I said, hey, did you get the pictures of the kids? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, let me see. And I turn, and her phone was off. So I turn it. She said, no, turn it off. I dropped it in the ocean. And I'm like, so then the whole day she's like, oh, what am I going to do? We went to the AT&T store on the way back to the hotel. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's going to cost me $500 because I'm not for my contract, and I'm going to get a flip phone, and this is what I'm going to have to do. And I'm like, just shut up. I'm like, the Lord will be merciful in this. It will be okay. So she threw it in some rice, and we let it soak for a day in some rice. And we turned it on, and it works fine. And you know, and there's and it may die at some point because I guess salt water will corrode the insides and do those kinds of things. But it works fine, so we're like, thank you, Jesus. Mm. And she lost her cosmetics bag at one of the hotels. She was like, what am I going to do? I mean, I got like hundreds of, I got makeup brushes. I got everything in there. And I'm like, just call the hotel. Call the hotel. It was at Asheville. I said, call the hotel in Asheville. See what they do. She called the lady's like, oh, yeah, we'll UPS it to your house. We'll get it all taken. So it's like everywhere that we were like fretting or fearful or wondering, the Lord just was merciful in his blessing and in pouring himself out. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I did is we had this great deck right outside of our room. And so every day I get a banana, a hot cup of coffee, and I go sit on the deck and I'd read a book of the New Testament. I read all of Paul's letters at least twice. Not Revelation because we were on vacation.
Yes.
I read in Revelation. And I didn't read the Gospels because I just wanted to see what Paul had to say. I want to see what a minister of the gospel post-Jesus had to say. I read Paul, I read Peter, Timothy, Hebrews. I just read those letters over and over again, especially read Galatians and Peter and Ephesians. I read those a bunch of times. But what does it say in, I believe it's Galatians? It said, it was God's great pleasure to reveal Christ to us.
Hmm.
So it was God's great pleasure to reveal himself to us. So
and that's interesting. There's another reference, too, that we can please God, but the fact that God's great pleasure that he can experience or, you know, in his character, that's, I don't know if you'd say an attribute or a personality trait, but that he can be pleased or that he desires to have pleasure or to manifest pleasure in us. It's just an interesting concept.
Well, it was one where I said, you know what, everywhere that I see in the Bible from now on, pleasure or a sense of joy that God has, I want to circle that or I want to underline it or I want to write it down somewhere because I want to understand what brings God joy and what brings God pleasure. What are these things that God, like, his spirit abounds in? And so one of them was revealing Christ to us to bring us towards salvation, but also the revelation of himself to us. You know, and then in 1 Peter, it says in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ according to his great mercy. So his mercy is not little. His mercy is great. His power to reveal himself brings pleasure. This is a God who doesn't fail. And not only does he not fail, but he's for us. If he wasn't for us, he wouldn't have sent Jesus on our behalf. And it says, by the way, in Peter, it says that he sent Jesus for the sprinkling of his blood. So he sent Jesus to shed his blood on our behalf, which is just an amazing thing to think about. And it says after that, so that may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So that his grace and his peace through the Lord Jesus Christ would be multiplied to us. And so if we go somewhere, why would we think that things were going to go south? Because God wants to not only pour himself out for his pleasure and his glory and his renown towards us, but God also wants to do it so that his grace and mercy would be multiplied through us. By the way, when it says through us, it's never, biblically, it's never just for me. So when God multiplies something into me, it's not simply so I can have more of something, it's so that I would then bless somebody else. So really the proper way to read this verse is, may grace and peace be multiplied amongst you. So that the grace and peace that God brings will be multiplied through me and out of me and into many people. And so it's just fascinating. So,
and it's not just like he's throwing us a crumb.
No.
The word I wrote down, lavish. I mean, he's pouring it out. It's bountiful. It's really literally overwhelming. It's so much.
Well, and how about this? In the verse, when Tesh and I were talking about this in the car, in the verse that we prayed, Psalm 67:1, it says, may his face smile with favor upon us. Look, God doesn't have a face. He doesn't, you know, Calvin called that an anamorphism. It's, you know, us trying to put human attributes onto God. God speaks to us in that way because we understand face and smiling. We understand what a smile can do to us and for us. And so we kind of put that on God so we would understand God in a way that our humanity could grasp. But the reality of it is God doesn't have a face and God doesn't have a smile. So what does that mean when his face smiles on us? I almost think it's like the revelation of his glory towards us. And that thing that God said to Moses, you can't handle this. The best thing I'm going to be able to do, he tells to Moses, is I'm going to be able to show you my glory, my kabod, to the place that I just was. And that's what God does. He reveals himself. He smiles upon us in the places that he was just at, where he paved the way for you to move into that place. And so everywhere that our tires touched and our feet walked while we were on vacation, in my opinion, biblically, was where God had preordained and placed his feet before me, smiled upon that place. And it was amazing. I mean, everywhere we went to the gator place, because we're like, we're in Florida, we got to see alligators, so we went to Gatorland. We said, let's spend some money. So we went to Gatorland, and it was great. It was amazing.
Was Jacob actually on a gator?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, is that a statue? Is that because there was a man near him, and I thought, I think that's a live gator.
Oh, yeah. They had, it's a gator wrestling thing prior to. And then after that, they gave an opportunity where you could come and sit on the gator. And so Jacob's like, I want to do it. I'm like, it's $10. If you get in there and you get cold feet, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be pretty angry. That's $10. Because I don't get my $10 back if you don't get on the gator. You step on the sand, $10. Yeah. And then Molly's like, I want in. I'm like, whoa, sister. You, I don't think will do it. She's like, I want to do it. So I paid the $20, and I'm thinking I'm going to lose my shirt on this one. And they both jumped in there and got right on the gator, and I was like, whoa, this is excellent.
Yeah, now, did they have the gator's mouth, like, tape shut or something?
Yeah, and so they had Jacob purposely. They put his hands where the tape was, so it looks like there's no tape on there.
Okay.
And you can't see it. But prior to that, he was petting baby gators. They were walking around with these little alligators you could pet and snakes. And we thought this place, Gatorland, was going to be hokey. And it turned out to be, I would tell anybody, if you go down there, make sure you go to this place, because it was great. They did a show where they hold this chicken out and these gators jump out of the water and bite the chicken, these big, huge 20-foot gators.
Oh, God.
You can buy a bag of hot dogs and throw hot dogs at them, and they go crazy to eat the hot dogs. But, I mean, it was actually an amazing place. We had a great time. And it was just the Lord kind of, is the Lord in the gator place? Yeah. Is he in the, yeah. Is he in the, yeah. He was everywhere. And, those are just the high points. But, I mean, there's so many little points that I could point to that I'd say, man, the Lord was so in that.
And in a sense, and in reality, he desires to be involved in every activity. In fact, he's already involved in every activity. It's just we have to be either conscientious or surrendered or submitted to him, and then we'll see things through these new lenses.
Yeah, the Lord would love for you to open your heart and open your eyes and open your ears and open yourselves up to the reality that he is a part of every, Psalm 24:1, the earth and everything and it belongs to the Lord, that he's a part of every single thing and that he desires greatly to be a part of every part of your day. Not just the struggles, not just the, Lord, where are you? Lord, I need you. But, Lord, I'm reveling in this moment. Celebrate with me. Mm-hmm. Because this moment is only possible because you smiled into it. So, that's my word for you today. I mean, just, I think everybody needs to take some time away. Jesus did. But you don't have to take a vacation to find the Lord. You don't have to take a vacation to open yourself to the reality of that the Lord's at work in everything. He is. And you can trust that because he doesn't fail. He doesn't lose. His word doesn't return void. So just take a moment and stop and just say, Lord, I want you to be a part of today and every day and in every way and everything.
All glory to God. He's awesome, deserving of our obedience, our praise, our worship, our surrendering hearts. And as you do that today, those of you that are followers of Christ, it'll make a difference. And those of you that maybe have never entertained the idea that God loves you and cares for you, oh, dear one, today make that commitment to find out more, read his word, talk with an area pastor. Hey, Jason or I would love to talk with you. But read his word, entertain the idea that he does care, and then just say, God, reveal yourself to me, because he desires to love, to care on you, to make a difference. There are trained counselors that you could also ask questions about having a relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can call them. It's a free call at 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Allow God to change your life for all eternity, beginning today. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Thank you, Jason Schiffel, co-host on Wednesday and Friday, for being back and being healthy. And I love to have you in the studio with me. And I look forward to Friday as we'll continue our study through the book of Acts. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great day.
Does it seem like the world is chaotically turning? Sin and shame unarraigned, and godly men are adjourning. Well, our fathers warned that it would come to this. just hold.